Scripture reading this morning is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. That is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And I will be reading from the English Standard Version. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
As we begin this morning, as we're going to be going through a sermon and song this morning, so follow along with us as we do that. I want to begin by considering Paul's thanksgiving for the church today. And as starters for that, we want to consider Paul being converted. That was the start of him realizing that the church was worthwhile. Before that, of course, he despised the church. He persecuted the church. He hated the church. He wanted it completely destroyed. But after his conversion, things began to change and he began to express his thanksgiving for the church. And I hope that all of us this morning, as a result of the songs that we sing and the verses that we look at, will also realize the need for us to be thankful for the church that Christ has brought for us and that God has presented to us as well. As we consider Paul being converted, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it." And then when we consider also Acts chapter 26 and verses 19 through 20, he says, "Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance." You know, all of us need to do as Paul did. We need to begin to change from thinking badly about the church, as many have at some point in their life, thinking that, oh, that's not for me, that's not a good thing, that's not something helpful, to beginning to think then about the church as something that is worthwhile and worthy of our thanksgiving to God because of the church. And in order to do that, we need to change ourselves. So begin by singing all of the verses of "None of Self and All of Thee." Now, Paul teaches us a great deal throughout the Scriptures. In regards to being thankful for the church, Paul teaches us to be thankful for several aspects of the church that we want to look at this morning. The first of those things that Paul teaches us to be thankful for is the Master of the church. And of course, we know who our Master is. Our Lord and Master is Jesus Christ. And we certainly need to be thankful for our Master. Before we became Christians, before we became a part of His church, we were serving a very different Master. We were serving Satan as a Master. Satan is a cruel and harsh and horrible Master. We certainly don't want to serve him any longer. Instead, we can be grateful that our loving, kind, gracious, and merciful Master, Jesus Christ, is now the one that we serve. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, Paul says, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. And his reference here most likely being to Jesus Christ, to the sacrifice that He made to purchase the church with His own blood. And certainly something that we truly can never express, truly can never explain fully with our human minds why God did that, how God did that, how Jesus was willing and went to that cross on our behalf. Something we struggle with constantly to understand fully. But when we realize that it is a great gift, we need to be thankful for it, even if we can't always express it as we wish we could. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, again, Paul says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Master leads us out to victory, and we receive the victory because of Him and through Him. It's not as a result of our own greatness, our own wonderful nature that we receive that victory. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ that we can receive the victory. And then we want to realize as well in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, he again says, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of knowledge of the knowledge of Him. We want others to have a knowledge of our Master, of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He is such a wonderful Master. And since He is such a wonderful Master, let's praise Him in song as we sing, praise Him, praise Him. The next of the things that Paul was thankful for and that we should be too is the message of the church. What is the church's message? What is it that we are out telling the world about? Well, there are several messages that we tell, obviously. Everything throughout the New Testament are the things that we share with others. But primarily, of course, our message is about Jesus and about the salvation that's available through Him and how people can come to Him. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Some translations may say things like the form of doctrine that you received. Things like that. We were taught how to serve God properly. We were taught how to appreciate Him. And it's because the church shares that message that we learn those things. And so it's very important for us to appreciate that message of the church. In Romans chapter 7 and verses 24 and 25, Paul says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. We are to serve God by being obedient to His law. We serve His law. We serve the things that He has taught us and commanded us. But of course, the New Testament is not just a law. It's not just a list of rules and regulations for us to keep. In 1 Corinthians 1:4, Paul says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. One of the problems that people had with the law of Moses, the old law, was that they couldn't keep it. They couldn't do all of those things that were taught in it. And so it was very important for Jesus to come. Certainly John tells us the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. As we go out, unfortunately sometimes we try to teach people the wrong thing. We try to teach them about some of the rules and the regulations, some of the law. And we forget that what we really need to be telling people is the story of Jesus. Let's consider that as we sing the song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, and then we'll have our opening prayer.
Would you bow with me, please? Our most high and holy Father, as we come before you at this time, Father, in prayer, we thank you. Thank you so much for your church. We thank you for your Son who died for it. And we thank you, Father, for that great sacrifice of love that you gave, that we may experience your love and your grace. As we're gathered here this morning, Father, we pray that you be with all those who are gathered. We pray especially that you be with those who are visiting with us. We pray that you bless them, Father, and watch over them if they are traveling. Bless them as they go about their time here and their time away from home. Give them a safe journey on home. We thank you so much, Father, that we have the opportunity, as those who are members of your kingdom here in Blue Ridge, that we can put forth your name, your glory, and your honor, raise you up before the community. We ask that you be with us in the things that we do, the things that we say, not only as individuals, Father, but as your kingdom here, your church. Help us that we may always lift up your name as we go about our daily life, that we always remember you as we're around others, that they indeed may see you living in us. We're so thankful, Father, for the opportunity we have to sing these songs of praise together, to lift our voices in prayer. And as we're praying, Father, we want to be reminded of all those who need our special prayers, who need your special care and watch over them. We thank you so much for those who are, Father, returning to a normal sense of health and normal measure of strength. But we pray for those who are listed this morning that do not have that. We pray especially for those who are going through certain trials and diseases. We pray for those who are going through special treatments, and we ask that you be with those who are caring for them, those who have medical expertise, and those who are dealing with their ailments and their illness, that you will guide them, that whatever's being done will benefit them, and if it be your will, they can return to a normal sense of health. We pray, Father, that you be with all those young people, those parents of the young people that are here today. We pray especially that we as Christians may live our lives as an example, that we may always teach you to our younger ones, and that you may allow us to live in a way and guide us that we can be that example necessary for them to see you living in us. We ask again, Father, that you bless us as we continue through this service. Be with James as he brings us more thoughts from your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we consider things to be thankful for about the church, we want to consider the meal that's shared by the church. No, I'm not talking about the fellowship meal. That we are having that next week. But what I'm talking about is the Lord's Supper, the communion that we share, this time that we come together to remember Christ's death, and we share that each week. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we see on the first day of the week, we were gathered together to break bread, and Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day. And he prolonged his speech until midnight. We won't do that today. We won't even prolong it till noon. I love that. But Acts 2:42 also says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers." And the breaking of bread, again, a reference to what we are
about to do as we prepare our minds to share this meal together, a meal that reminds us of Christ's sacrifice for us. And before we share that supper together, we'll sing "By Christ Redeemed." As we consider now another thing that we should be thankful for, it is the missions of the church, or the mission of the church. And the mission of the church in many ways is missions. Our goal, of course, is to take the gospel into the entire world. In Acts chapter 16 and verses 9 and 10, Paul saw a vision of a man from Macedonia that was begging him, "Come and help us." And you know, it's amazing that Paul here, when he sees this vision, he immediately concluded, we're supposed to go preach the gospel to him. He didn't just send them some books and some food and these other things, and there's nothing wrong with those things. They're good things, and sometimes people need those things. But he knew when this person in this vision said, "Come help us," what they needed the most was to hear about Jesus Christ and to hear about the gospel. And he knew that they were being called to preach the gospel to those people. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, he says to the Romans, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world." As we consider these things, the faith being proclaimed throughout the world, we need to be like that brightly beaming lighthouse. And so we need to let those lower lights be shining. Another thing that the church does, in addition to sending missionaries around the world and in their local communities as well to teach the gospel, is ministering. The ministry of the church. And there are a lot of different ways that different members of the church minister to not only the church itself, but to others around. In Galatians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10, it says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." He's talking about ministering and serving. In 2 Corinthians 9, 12 and 13, he says, "For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints," he's talking about the collection that was being taken up to be sent back to Jerusalem to help the needy saints there, "not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others." And then we also want to notice in Philippians 1, 3 through 7, that Paul here talks to the church there about how much they were partners with him by sharing. They didn't go on the missionary journeys, but they shared with the work by supporting him as he went. And they were partners with him in the gospel from the first day even to that present time. The missions of the church, the ministry of the church, those things cannot be accomplished without what was spoken of in 2 Corinthians, the generosity of your contribution. So now as we sing, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me," let's consider our contribution. And we want to consider something else about the church that we should be thankful for, and that is the members of the church. Of course, the church wouldn't truly exist without her members. It would simply be an idea without the physical reality of each and every member of the church. Throughout the New Testament, Paul again and again shows his thankfulness for the church. I can feel for him because I've been to many different churches all throughout the United States, and it's a wonderful thing to run across other members of the church, and it's certainly something to be grateful for. In 1 Corinthians 1:4, he says, "I give thanks to my God always for you." He says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers in Ephesians 1:16. In Philippians 1:3-4, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 3-5, he specifically is thankful for Timothy, and he remembers him constantly. Timothy was like a son to him. And then in Philemon 1:4, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12-13, it says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be thankful for them. Esteem them highly in love. And then in Romans 16:3-4, he's particularly fond of Priscilla and Aquila, or as this translation says, Prisca and Aquila. She had a nickname as well. Who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. It sounds as though they rescued him, and all the churches are grateful for that. We are part of God's family, and it's a wonderful thing. Let's sing about that, and then we'll have our prayer. As we consider one final thought before we depart, I want to encourage all of us to be more thankful. Paul has certainly shown us the example with his thankfulness for the church. He was thankful for the master of the church. He was thankful for the message of the church, for the meal shared by the church, for the missions of the church, for the ministry of the church, and for the members of the church. And we should certainly be thankful for all of those things as well. I hope that all of us will, and as we consider these final thoughts, Romans 1:21, there were some people who were not thankful. They knew God, but they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We don't want to have our hearts darkened. We don't want to become futile in our thinking. So we need to continue to have gratitude toward God for His church and for all the aspects of it. In Colossians 3:15, instead of being like those people that Paul talked about in Romans, we should be those who let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. We were indeed called in one body, and we should be thankful. And I hope that all of us are this morning, and I hope that we will be throughout this coming week. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Not real difficult, and yet tough sometimes too. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. That's God's will for us. It can be hard to do sometimes. But I encourage us all to make every effort this week to be more thankful in whatever the circumstances we may face are. And now we'll close with the song Trust and Obey. If you have something on your heart that you need to share, if you have struggles, the elders are always available. Sometimes we think the only time that we can respond to God's invitation is at the invitation song at the end of the service. Our fellow Christians are there for us all day, every day. If we have a need, we can come. And God certainly is there for us at all times. Let's consider that as we give thanks and as we consider being trusting and obedient to Him.